Next is Amato versus the Township of Ocean School District. If the parties could please step forward. May we please have appearances of counsel?
Randolph Brass, Lake Forest Academy of Brass, on behalf of the Township of Ocean Schools. Do you have a speech on behalf of the
Good afternoon, Your Honors. I'm Robert Ricardo of Mississippi Valley Law Firm on behalf of the Amicus New Jersey Education Association.
Welcome, counsel. Mr. Brass, please go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Chief Justice Ravner, Justice of the Supreme Court, may it please the court. I have the distinct privilege this afternoon to appear before this court to address the issue as to whether a teacher is considered an essential employee and entitled to the presumption that she contracted COVID-19 at work. I will refer to the relevant statute as the presumption statute. The presumption statute delineates a number of occupations that are considered, where the employees are considered to be essential employees. There are two other clauses which would allow a court to determine that an individual is an essential employee. Under subsection 3, where it enumerates a bunch of occupation, it indicates that if an individual performs function in close proximity to the public, and that job is essential to the health, morale, and safety of the public, then that person can be considered an essential worker. The next clause or category under subsection 4 is if the public authority declaring the state of the emergency designates that individual as an essential employee. Addressing what I consider that catch-all phrase, health, safety, morale, and close proximity, I respectfully draw your attention to Executive Order 175, because in Executive Order 175, what the order says is that public schools or schools in general are not open to the general public. They don't have access to it. And as a result, there's a lower risk of COVID-19 transmission than those spaces open to the general public. What I believe this case hinges on is whether Category 4, whether the public authority designated teachers as essential employees. The documents that I think are important to this case, I think they're at RA 16 through about 20, is the OEM document, and I call it a document because it appears to come from a website. I don't think that's in dispute. It's undated. If you look at that document, it indicates there's a clarification of the travel restrictions. And then underneath it, it says for future reference. And then there is reference to this CISA Homeland Security member. And then after, underneath it, it says if you qualify as a, see yourself as an essential employee, please look at these documents. Now, interestingly, that CISA Homeland Security document, that memorandum, first of all, it says it's advisory in nature. There are, I counted myself, 106 subcategories underneath the main headings, which means if this court affirms the appellate division decision, there will be literally thousands of people who are considered to be essential workers. And as we know, the presumption statute did not specifically name teachers as essential workers. There are literally over 100,000 teachers in this state. I have not found a definitive document saying teachers are considered essential workers, and has respectfully suggested that the appellate division decision should be reversed and the case should be remanded to the Division of Workers' Compensation and have a different judge try this case. And I'm happy to answer any questions about the case, about the procedure, anything the court might find relevant.
So, Counselor, you're not addressing subsection 3. You're only saying this hinges on subsection 4.
Well, I am addressing it in the sense that this was not after a trial. This was after a motion, which is quite unusual in workers' compensation. And I don't think there's any evidence. There's not a record below to allow someone to determine whether this individual who was working at the school, there's no question about that, was in close proximity to the members of the public. I don't think I have a lot to say that teachers aren't important. I'm not saying that, but it's in the conjunctive. It have to meet both prongs, and there's absolutely no testimony about that. We've had no testimony about any of this, which is quite unusual in workers' compensation.
Can I just make sure I understand? Under subsection 4, is your argument that OEM did not adopt CESA guidance, or that OEM was not allowed to adopt CESA guidance, or that even after OEM adopted the CESA guidance, it only adopted it as guidance? What is your argument?
Well, as I understand, I think it's Executive Order 103, but I could be wrong. There is a delegation to the OEM to modify certain rules with the authority of the governor. I think I understand. The question is whether teachers are deemed essential workers, whether the OEM, there's no even indication what the process is. And that OEM document, I'm not saying it doesn't exist, I know it's on a website, but it says for future clarification. It would seem to me that a reasonable interpretation is, well, if there's some type of travel restriction, maybe we have to classify people as essential workers. When this statute was enacted, teachers, well, it was September 14, 2020, so some teachers were starting to come back to school. But when the process started, there was a complete lockdown. So I don't even think teachers were part of the conversation at that point.
Sorry, can you say that one more time? So you're referring to the OEM website where it says, if per this guidance, you can identify as an essential employee, please refer to the attached documents. And the attached documents say that a teacher is an essential employee.
What the document says, this is a useful tool. That's what my notes have. And it's, and there's a, in one of the documents, it says this is for advisory purposes only. In fact,
you're talking about CESA now, not OEM, right?
I am talking about the CESA document. The CESA document says, please refer to this website.
So what about the executive order that also designated DOH as the authority? And then DOH puts out a vaccination plan, and it specifically says that education and child care workers are essential workers.
For purposes of the vaccination.
Sorry, so your argument is you can be an essential worker by the deciding authority for one purpose, but that it is not specifically for the purpose of the statute, even though the statute doesn't discuss for different purposes?
Well, the statute doesn't discuss how you go about naming somebody an essential worker. I mean, it's a very short sentence which says the public authority has the ability to designate.
It says any other employee deemed an essential employee by the public authority declaring the state of emergency. But here the DOH is the public authority declaring the state of emergency, and it has deemed teachers to be essential employees.
It's a website document that talks about vaccines. They call on essential workers and they say they can get the vaccine first. That's what it says.
So is your point that they can't deem on a website, or that they have to deem by promulgating a regulation?
No, I understand we live in the digital age. I mean, I don't know what these are documents that come up with a website, and they say certain things. It's not clear in terms of, are we talking about, I mean, essential workers is somewhat of a generic term. It's not clear to me that it's even relating back to the statute. I mean, if you look at that Homeland Security CESA, there are literally thousands of people who are considered under that document. I know it's advisory, but that could be essential workers. So under that rationale, then we have thousands of individuals who are considered essential workers. When this
only because that would be how the legislature chose to draft the statute, correct?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
That would only be because that's how the legislature chose to draft the statute. So they didn't, for example, say you must be an essential work. You have to have been deemed an essential employee by the public authority declaring the state of emergency through a promulgated regulation, or there can only be this number of them, or you have to fit into this very specific role. It does have this language.
Yes, but for example, if you look at that CESA document version 4.0, dated August 18, 2020, The statute was enacted, although the process started much earlier, I believe on September 14, 2020. I mean, they could have referred to that and said anybody named in the CISA, Homeland Security document is considered to be an essential worker. They didn't.
Other questions, anyone? Anything you'd like to add, counsel?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Melody.
Mr. Chief Justice and Associate Justices, if it please the court, good afternoon. This court has previously noted that COVID-19 was a true disaster with widespread consequences. It was a health emergency which caused devastation to individuals and families. One such family, Amato, is here today to assert essential worker status pursuant to the remedial framework of New Jersey's Workers' Compensation Act, and specifically the COVID-19 presumption statute and Executive Order 175. At its core, the issue is whether an in-classroom teacher, public school teacher, who is required by law to return to in-person classroom instruction during the declared COVID state of emergency qualifies as an essential employee within the meaning of the statute. The legislature, in enacting the presumptive law, recognized that certain categories of workers, those on the front lines, and those directed by the public authority to perform critical functions, a rebuttable presumption of compensability. The law was designed to be liberally construed, consistent with the longstanding remedial nature of our Workers' Compensation Act. Here, Denise Amato, the decedent, a career public school teacher, was not merely permitted to return to in-person instruction, she was required to do so. Executive Order 174, issued by the governor under the authority of Executive Order 103 and the declared state of emergency, expressly mandated that schools resume in-person instruction and that teachers, administrators, and staff return to classrooms. Orders number 3 and 18 of Executive Order 105 and the whereas clauses make clear that in-person instruction was critical to the health, safety, and welfare of New Jerseyans during the health crisis. Let's be clear. This is not a case where an employee sought to volunteer or whose attendance was discretionary. This was a legal mandate enforced by the public authority that declared the state of emergency. And under Section 4 of the presumption statute, such a mandate precisely triggers the essential employee status. Once ordered back into the classrooms, the teachers no longer had the opportunity to teach remotely. Respondents suggest that teachers are not specifically enumerated in the statute, but the statute does not require such enumeration. Besides the cited categories of first responders, the statute provides two alternative routes to essential worker status. First, an employee performs functions which involve physical proximity to the public and are essential to the public's health, safety, and welfare. If you look at the whereas clauses, I believe it's 12 to 15, they highlight all of these traits that are inherent in public school teachers. And second, any other employee deemed an essential worker, employee by the public authority. Well, that was the governor of New Jersey and Executive Order 175. Deemed means to be considered as. They are to be considered as essential employees. The Executive Order 175 itself is a declaration by the public authority declaring a state of emergency. The governor's directive carried the force of law. Compliance was mandatory. And therefore, it is clear that when Denise Amato returned to that public school classroom, she was functioning as an essential worker under state mandate. The cybersecurity infrastructure list and the vaccine priority list are corroborative evidence in support of our prima facie case that Denise was an essential worker. it's possible that someone on the CISA list could be on that list as essential, but they're not in proximity to the public. They're not under an order. So the list, in terms of our prima facie case, is corroborative. When an attorney is trying to make a prima facie case, you put what you have in front of the court, and that's what we did. Finally, we submit that affirmance is warranted not only because of the statute's plain language compels it, but also because the appellate division unanimously held in favor of Ms. Amato's family after full consideration. Both the compensation judge and the appellate court recognized that teachers were mandated into classrooms and that the statutory presumption therefore applies. To hold otherwise would create a gap in coverage for precisely those workers the law was designed to protect, those compelled by law to stand on the front lines in crowded schools and classrooms at a time when the risks of COVID transmission were known and unavoidable. For these reasons, we respectfully request the court to affirm the judgment below and confirm that teachers required by Executive Order 175 to return to in-person classroom instructions qualify as essential workers under the presumption statute. Thank you.
Questions, anyone? Mr. Melody, if I heard your last argument correctly, it was we should rule this way because the appellate division ruled this way. You've made a lot of friends in the appellate division by making that argument.
Well, I'm just you're trying to persuade the court and use that. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Leonardo.
Thank you.
May it please the court. I agree with Mr. Melody's arguments. I'll just add a few supplemental points. And I'll start with the constitutional requirement that the state provide a thorough and efficient education to the children of the state. When the governor issued Executive Order 175, it was a policy decision that remote instruction was not serving children academically, emotionally, mentally, and it's all in the executive order. When he reopened the schools and school districts decided to call everyone back in because they had to reopen, teachers like Ms. Amato had to return to work in person. She didn't have a choice. No school district said, we're reopening, you have to come in back to work unless you don't want to. She didn't have that option. And that was because once the students returned to the classrooms, you couldn't have a teacher on a screen. She had to be in the room to supervise the room and to maintain safety and order. When the schools reopened and teachers went in, they took a risk. They went in back to work while the majority of the state was still home and sheltering in place because COVID was still raging. The court, the courts below got it right when they concluded that the intent of the presumption statute is that if teachers or other essential employees got sick while they were back in a place of employment, they were entitled to the protection of the workers' comp law and entitled to benefits. You know, teachers took a risk every day when they went into work. In this case, that risk came to terrible fruition. The intent of the law below was to make sure that teachers who took these risks would be covered and that they'd be protected. And insofar as the dispute over the CISA, the guidance, and whether or not teachers were essential, it does support that teachers are essential. But, teachers had always performed an essential job. They performed the duty to educate the children of the state. That's a constitutional requirement. When the governor issued the executive order and ordered everyone back to work for purposes of the workers' compensation statute, they became essential employees who were subject to the presumption. Unless the court has any questions.
I just want to clarify something that yes. I believe you said. Did the district have a remote work policy at that time, or was everyone required, teachers were required to be in the classroom?
No, everyone was required to go back to work.
Is there any dispute about that in this case?
I don't believe that there was. I don't believe so.
Questions, anyone? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honors.
We will take the matter under advisement.